All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
All right, guys, welcome back to Overtime with Nast and Riggs, episode number 9. Don't adjust your screens. He gets this a lot. He looks a lot like The Rock, but this is actually the man, PJ Stock. Thank you for joining us, Stalker. I know you get that a lot. If you had tattoos, it'd be over. Luckily, you have some hair, too. I think it is the hair, but the physique, like totally. whoa.
Presence.
As soon as you came on, I'm like, wow.
Yeah. It's lighting, you know that. It's all about the angles.
And yeah, right? And mirrors, right? I haven't been able to find a good angle for me yet, and the lighting either. Baller, get on that, bro. Stalker, what's going on, man? How are you, brother?
Oh, man, life is great. I'm up in Montreal. Just probably watched one of the greatest football weekends ever. Yes. Just hockey's at it. Sports are at a good time right now, but I don't know what's going on with COVID. I think that's kind of slowing down, picking up. I don't know what's going on, but I'm happy. I'm healthy up here in Montreal. A little bit of good news, like my mom kind of had COVID, so that was like the big concern.
Oh, boy.
And then through it. So that's, you know,
good
that's the world we're living in right now, right? Yeah. So now I'm happy. I'm good.
Yep.
Let's party. Let's go.
I know.
Right? Miles looks good. Miles looks fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I had COVID last Saturday for 24 hours and a little backache, a little fatigue, and I'm good to go, Stalker. So
I had it over Christmas.
Did you?
Yeah. Same
Did
idea.
You?
Yeah. Your body shut down. Nah, it's a 24 to 48 hour flu is the way. We're lucky, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. But that's what I had, and kind of like a high fever for a night. But besides that, yeah, I think it made me taller.
You look a little taller.
Buffer too.
Yeah. Well, this guy's Jack. I mean, that's why do you think people think it's The Rock when he comes walking around? Well, you can't go anywhere up where you're at anyway, but.
Yeah, right.
Seeing you on TV and
no,
that.
I'm on lockdown.
Yeah, I know.
I'm on lockdown. What a mess.
It's a mess, man. You're not kidding. Buddy, so thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you. Talk a little bit about, I know you're up in Montreal, but I know you've seen kind of the mess the Flyers are in these days. From what you've seen and, you know, working in TV and stuff, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, first off, it's hard. You know, when you end up changing coaches mid-year, there's so many different angles you can take at this. They haven't been healthy all year. Haven't been healthy all year. And that's the first thing, because we all do comparables at the start of the season and see, you know, okay, if we match up this line against that line. We kind of thought, everyone thought this was going to be a great year for Philadelphia, the way they finished last year, the Flyers, the way they were going to go into this year with comparables in the division. And then you have, you know, Pittsburgh take off, Rangers take off, Carolina being Carolina and Washington being Washington. But you thought Philly was going to be, and the Islanders for that matter, were going to be in that mix. And everyone was thinking we're going back to the eight teams from the conference. Five were going to come out of that division. That's how everyone else was thinking it. And now it's just injury bug and lots of craziness in Philly. But one thing it kind of, and this has nothing to do with Philadelphia, but I just find it could have something to do with it. But it's hard when you change your coaches midterm to like get rid of everybody, but kind of keep the one lone guy left to be like, I know you were here before and it kind of wasn't working with you before. But kind of, can you keep this together for the next so little, you know, can you get us back going? And like, if it didn't work really before, it's hard on that guy to try and win that room back over, no matter how great he is. And Mike, I don't know, but I've heard nothing but amazing things about him. Yeah, I'm just saying, when you get to the point where the players are that beaten down mentally and it costs the coach a job, it's hard to fire those guys back up.
Yeah.
It's hard to fire those guys back up. So Mike, who could have been in that room and trying to do it before, he still could be trying to, and the message could be better, but it's hard unless you almost go with complete change, a completely change where guys could come in and have a completely new identity, new thought process, looking at something completely new, and maybe that can rejig things. But it's hard. There's not too many teams that, you know, end up losing their coach mid-season, come back by keeping someone and be like, hey, let's turn things around now and make a run for it. So add the injuries in. And
yeah,
again, this resurgence of Pittsburgh, of Carolina, Washington, and New York, it's been a tough division.
Yeah, I agree with your thoughts on the coach mid-season. You know, there's a lot of rumblings around here when the coach did get fired there, AV, and you know, John Tortorella's name come up and Rick talking, and we're kind of like crossing our fingers, like, let's get Torts in here, and you know what I mean, and turn this thing around and light some fires. And you know, I've never really seen teams do that well, to your point, with like an interim head coach or someone, you know, the coach that's been the assistant to take over. Never really see that being ultra successful throughout time. So I agree with that. It was kind of the same. They went on like a 7-game point streak there, you know, but a lot of winnable games coming off a 10-game losing streak. But now they're back on a 12-game losing streak going into the 13th game. Yeah,
12.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, tonight's, you know, they tied the record for a 12-game losing streak. So today,
with so much talent,
so much talent. Yeah.
You know, is this the, you know, I know it's, they didn't want to talk about during the year, but is it finally cut cords with Claude Giroux? Like, is this the year where, you know, you have to look at where you are. Yep. Philly has to look at where they are. They have to look at how are they getting – the Rangers are, like, going like this.
All yes. Right?
They're going like this. Carolina's going to go like this. You know, Washington is kind of fluttering around there a little, but they're still on that upward rise. New Jersey's the youngest team in the league. They have some talent there, but I don't know, but they're still ahead of Philly. Islanders, they're well coached. Really weird start to their season on the road and the building and all kinds of stuff. But how is Philly going to get themselves back on track? What can they go out and get to make themselves better? So many injuries. They need to do something. And who has value? Who has a ton of value? It's hard. It's hard. Like, I don't think Pittsburgh's ever going to get rid of a Malkin or maybe a Letang or maybe a Crosby. But they're kind of at the edge of that runway with that superstar core. You don't want to get rid of them because it's the franchise. But if you want to rebuild the franchise, you got to kind of move someone to kind of get some pieces. So it's going to be interesting what happens with Claude Giroux or some of those big dogs there.
Yeah, I think you're totally correct, Stalker. The thing here in Philadelphia is, you know, when Hexie came in, his idea was to rebuild, and we went through those 4 to 5 years where he did, he was doing that. He was not, you know, offering a lot of big contracts to big name players. Kind of went with the core group that we had, and then, you know, a lot of young guys and making deals, traded a few players away, Braden Schenn. In turn, you have Joel Farabee on this team now, so it's hard to even criticize that at all. At the time, we're like, why are we getting rid of a guy that scores close to 30 goals? But his long-term goal was to have a core group of young kids come up together.
Right.
But when you're kind of rebuild, and we did make the playoffs too out of the 4.5 years he was here, not with great teams, but they played hard and they made the playoffs, never got past the first round. Now you're turning a couple years later, you're saying rebuild again. You can't rebuild overnight, right? So I don't, in Philadelphia, it's not a, people are saying blow it up, but like, you have to realize how long it's going to take. And we've been mediocre for a while now in Philadelphia.
I think, see, this is where the salary cap kind of ruins it. You know, everyone loves the salary cap because we're all on the same playing field. But this is what makes it so hard. You know, you can't turn things around. To rebuild it, you have to. It goes back to the draft. You got to teams with money and teams that help drive the revenues in this league. And those are the teams that I think the league needs to be successful. And if they're willing to, I think there's a certain window where there could be somewhat of a luxury tax. I'm not saying like baseball where it's ridiculous, where teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox pay more in taxes than half the teams in the league.
Yeah, right.
But I'm just saying, hypothetically, I'll just use a simple number for people's listening. Let's say it's 100 is the max, and let's say 75 is the minimum. You have to be in that window. But if you want to spend to, let's say, 120, you pay, I don't know, 5 cents on the first million, on the first 5 million, 10 cents on, it still gives you a certain window. Where are the teams like the Rangers, the Flyers, the Canadians, the Leafs, the Hawks, the Kings? Like, you, everyone wants to see Nashville do well. Everyone wants to see these Midwest. Like, it's just they don't drive TV. They don't drive revenue.
Right?
And by taxing some of those teams, you can help the Floridas of the world. You can help the Nashvilles. You can help the Arizonas. You can help some of those teams that are struggling. But you know, some years you have those teams that aren't expected to do well. Do well, but it should be, you know, if teams are willing to spend a tad more and pay a price and help the league, they have to find a, I think they have to find a way to kind of help drive the bus a little, because it's unfortunate to have a team like Philadelphia not pass the first round in so long. Teams like the Canadians, besides last, the Leafs never in there. It's hard, and it's hard on the financial aspect of the game as well for the owners.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
All my points are great, Pete.
I don't know how I didn't know that. I should have learned that over these many years of knowing you.
And I texted you before. Make sure you say my points are great.
Always great. Yeah, you were talking about Giroux, though. You know, we were talking about this before. You know, G's 34 years old, and you look at when teams win, their core group of guys is, you know, but you're generally between what, 23 and 28, and they got like a chunk of them, right? You know, and then they grow together. You look at all the teams that have ever won. And, you know, G's kind of standing on his own island as this 35-year-old veteran that's 34 is still leading the charge here, but not really having that supporting cast around him. We were talking with Bush earlier, and you know, and Bush is, you know, kind of thinks the way we're thinking now. It's almost time, like, go and win somewhere. You know, you've deserved it. You've poured in your blood, sweat, and tears here in Philly. But I think the time is to move on. Try and get what you can in return for him, and just move on. Let him go win or try to win, and again, try and get something of value in return. I'm not sure what that looks like, but
well, the other thing with that is Starker and Riles, we talked about this. So if you're gonna trade him, everyone knows you're trading him to get as much as you can.
Yeah.
I guess it could work either way, but like, teams aren't really wanting to help the Flyers, but getting a player like G on your team,
The teams are, the problem is with him, and it's amazing, a testament to his career. He's, you know, he's 34. He's been playing that long. But the game's changed so much during those, you know, 14, 15 years that he's been playing. It's way faster. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different game from, you know, 15 years ago. He is probably one of the best top five in the league, halfway on the power play guys in the league.
Yeah.
You know, but is he willing to understand, is he willing to do what Jason Spezza has done, or a Joe Thornton, and understand that you're not a top tier guy anymore. Mm-hmm. For our team to be successful, you have to be a complimentary player. You have to be, you know, you're going to get your power play time. We're going to need you here, but you're not going to be like, if he goes to a Carolina, he's not playing ahead of Aho, you know, like he's going to be playing. Right. Like there's every team that he goes to, I think he's going to find himself a little bit lower on the depth chart. If he, you know, is willing to accept that, I think there's a ton of teams that would take him.
Yeah,
100%. You know, I agree.
Ton of teams that would take him. Mm-hmm. And he can make any team come playoff run. You know, you don't want to take a penalty against this team because he might not be on the first power play, hypothetically.
Yeah.
But you got, anytime he's out there, he can make something happen.
Right. Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see it. But the Flyers got to jump on. I think they have to do something I know we still got time till what is March 21, yeah, and that's mm-hmm. shutting down a little. But you have to start thinking that way.
Yeah,
yeah. And Stalker, to your point, if you add a player like him, like I get it, he's 34, but he's in tremendous shape. Like he's yeah. not yep. in shape of a 34-year-old man. I know he's 34.
He's a consistent performer.
He's a consistent performer. You yeah. add him, and like you said, he's probably any of these teams that add him, he's not going to be the first line guy.
Yeah.
But even throwing him on the second line, like that's a pretty good 1-2 punch, whoever your first line punch sure. is. And if right. you've even got a 1-2 punch already, if you have to play him a little lower, obviously he's going to get his power play time, like you said. I don't see how you don't do it if yeah. you're a team contending.
Well, it's similar to when the Karts and Richie go to L.A. and win a Stanley Cup. They're not going there and they're like, the 1-2. They're, 2-3. You know, you could argue maybe even somewhere lower in there because they had their core guys already in place with Kopitar and Dustin yeah. Brown and whoever else they had there at the time. But, I agree with that. You know, he's the highest-end player on the Flyers because they don't have a whole lot there to compete with him, even though he's consistently getting points. But yeah, he needs to go somewhere else, in my opinion, and attempt to get a Stanley Cup and be okay with that slotting of second and third line or wherever he fits in, because I think G's attitude is good enough, man. He's a team guy. I mean, you right. know, you play this game to win, right? I mean, again, you've poured everything into the Flyers organization. Like, there's nothing wrong with going somewhere else and trying to hoist that cup.
You said something right there that's, for me, it's something that's always, ever since they got rid of Carter and Richards, they go to the Stanley Cup Finals one year for, there are reasons to make decisions. They did it, but I don't think they haven't really had the same identity almost.
Right.
And they've been chasing that identity ever kind of since. And it just kind of, you talk about guys that for teams to be successful, they come up through the organization, they come up as a core, and they've been kind of chasing it kind of ever since. So anyways,
that's so true. And then the other thing we want to bring up too, Keith Yandel, 964 games, tied for the Ironman record. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? It's insane, right?
Well, there's been some, like, I can go a couple ways on this.
Yeah, I know where your head's at.
I've heard nothing but amazing things about Keith.
Yes.
So I've heard nothing but amazing things about Keith. I couldn't get through a week of playing hockey without having injuries.
Yeah.
So to be able to go through a season and then another season and then another season and then another season and he's on defense when guys are stepping over the blue line and teeing up slap shots at you guys and not. Just getting through practices are hard sometimes.
No kidding.
Yeah. So congratulations on an amazing feat. So again, I've heard nothing but amazing stories about this guy. I think I might've met him once or twice, but it just, I don't even know what to say to go, what is it, 12 years now?
Yeah, right.
It's a long time, man.
Without a hard bruise, or the flu?
Yeah, I know, right?
He's avoiding COVID, for crying out
loud. He's walking around in a space outfit, eh? Yeah. He's
got the bubble wrap.
The bubble wrap.
And the hazmat suit.
But didn't they sit him out in Florida for a game?
No, they were going to. We were talking about this, and they almost had a Rudy moment where the guys went in and told Q, you're not sitting him. He's playing. That's how good of a locker room guy he is, too. Right, and I think it was a really good move bringing him here for Hazy too, which we talked about. Having basically family, they're so close after a tough summer and the tragedy, and then poor Hazy's had three surgeries this year. Just nothing's bouncing the Flyboy's way. That's for sure.
But yeah.
He survived 900 games, so kudos on him.
It's amazing.
You know what's going to be hilarious? He's going to play tonight, you guys, right?
Yeah.
You guys are
Islanders.
Against the Islanders. He's going to get tonight's game in, and then tomorrow he's going to, on the way walking to the rink, he's going to break his ankle.
He'll get COVID.
If he twists his ankle today, he's taping that baby up and getting on the ice.
One shift.
I was watching in the NFL. It was the last game of the season where a lot of teams that were in were resting players. And I want to say it was the Green Bay Packers, their center. And I'm not going to know his name, but I want to say it was Green Bay Packers. And he went in, he has a streak going. So he did the opening snap and that was it. They arrested him. So that's how cool.
That's cool.
You know, yeah. Or also, I don't know, also you guys saw Gronkowski where he needed so many catches to,
His
bonus, right?
That was cool.
I love that team stuff. Yeah, I love that team stuff.
He went over to TB and said, hey, I need one more. Yeah. He's like, oh, you do? Yeah. All right. He gets him one.
Yeah. One.
For the mill. I can't remember how much it was, but.
A million.
$1 million bonus.
Yeah, he's like, we got a milli.
That shit's awesome, man.
Yeah. Oh, what a mess. Oh. Have we seen, is Tom Brady done?
He's talking about it. You know, I saw the thing today. I can't imagine he's done, man. He's still good.
He's still phenomenal. Potentially shape. MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's him or Rodgers, depending on. It's funny how football is, you know, Rodgers in football, he kind of took three guys a curveball. He was probably the real MVP, or it's hard because he doesn't have the weapons or stuff like that. But there's so much hate going his way now.
It's crazy.
It's like baseball. You got so many guys that are, they revolutionized the game, and Barry Bonds and Clemens and some of these, and Sosa and whatever, they broke all the records.
McGuire,
but no, they took steroids. The entire world was taking steroids.
I'm sure there's a way that guys are getting through that. Guys are using something. I'm not talking about a hog. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
There's got to be a secret way now. They always find ways to do things. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Stalker, you got away with it for years.
Everywhere.
It's unreal.
we were actually, we had this conversation all the time. I was thinking, so I was oblivious to drugs just in general. I grew up near that. I didn't even know anything about weed. Didn't know anything about anything. There's a guy that I grew up that took this stuff called Agent Orange whatever it was.
Ultimate
Orange. Ultimate Orange.
Yeah.
Ultimate Orange. And that was kind of the extent of what I knew about anything. And then when I played pro, I had never thought of any of that for a couple of years until probably my fourth year when I was, you know, I didn't really, my skill set was horrendous, but I worked out as much as I possibly could to keep me kind of in the game. And we come in to do some of the testing. When I was in New York, I finished kind of towards the higher of part of the pack. I don't want to tell you what team I was at, but I went in and we had to do a test that had, well, black and gold, but you had to go in and do some tests where, you have to pick a number where you have to bench press anywhere between 5 to 10, and they give you your one rep max.
Okay.
I'm the fourth line guy. Like, I'm the guy that's working out. I'm the guy that's, you know, that should be in better. We have a couple guys on our second line that are throwing up 305 pounds for 10 times.
Holy shit.
And I'm like, no. This is not right. Something is not right. That's the first time I ever really thought about it. And then I thought back in my career, but I can't really think. I took creatine twice was kind of the extent of what I took ever. But I think back, I don't think our games ever really had that side of the problem. I don't know, Riles, if you think our games ever had, I think maybe two guys per team, maybe when I got out, maybe some sort of HGH, the Russians were bringing some stuff over or something like that. But I don't think our game, when you think of baseball, when you think of football, when you think of some of the other sports, you look at pro hockey players today, they look like little, they look like 12-year-old boys right now, the way they're so tiny.
So they're lean. Look like Riggs.
Look like me, yeah.
The yoga. How is the yoga coming along?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, man. It's a saving grace. Yeah, three, four times a week practice, and then I'm teaching 2-3 times a week in the heat. So yeah, man. Great for the mind, more than the body,
clean
honestly.
Your chi? Clean the chi?
Yeah, move the energy. Move the energy there, Stalker. You know,
I thought that was Sundays with the mushrooms. That was her rejuvenated mind and soul and body.
but you're going back to what you're saying, you know, like in the steroid world, I guess there's different types of steroids for different types of, you know, outcomes, right? I mean, you got this testosterone, which a lot of those guys were doing, beefing them up and probably stacking that with the HGH. And then you got the world of, like, you know, the Winstrols are more like, more of a leaning steroid, right? Making you a little bit more, For cutting, for more efficiency, and for endurance and stuff like that too. But I don't think it's ever been a huge problem in the NHL. I think guys maybe have dabbled here and there. I think you could probably argue in the 80s and 90s, maybe like the methamphetamines might have been even a more bigger problem than steroids or ever in the NHL. But I think, you know, for the most part, the hockey seems to be somewhat of a clean sport, especially since we've eliminated that old school jungle of all the meatheads coming, yeah.
Right. That was our only group that probably would have been, in that, because it's kind of like, A, uppers to get excited, downers after you just got destroyed, and now you get it. Like, you did see that. But besides that, I'm pretty proud of our sport that we kind of.
For sure.
Yeah. Anyways.
Sure. Yeah.
Sidetracked.
No, it's good. It's all good, man. Good insights, so. Well, I think we covered everything we need to there, Stalker. We appreciate you. Appreciate you hopping on, and
I carried you guys. I don't want to fuck
you. You do. Hey, check out what's going on with Stock Talk, buddy. I've seen the. I see the merch. So love it.
Thanks, buddy. We're starting back up, and it's been so many crazy things. From we're gonna do some side by side, but in Canada we can't do anything anymore, right? We can't. So it's kind of slowed down, and then I'm also working the Olympics.
Yeah, I saw that. Really cool. When I heard Olympics in your name, I'm like, he's playing. Yeah. He's coming back, because I see, I follow you on everything. I see you working out. I know you're a machine. I don't know, as big as you are now, you do, like we said, The Rock, people confuse him. Like, I don't know if you're getting through that testing for the Olympics, man. Yeah, it's way harder. But I thought you were playing. I didn't realize you were going over. I'm kidding. But that's awesome.
Have you seen though, like the teams that have been put out? Like, it's, there's a chance, Riles, that you and the three of us actually have a chance. I've seen D Nasty skate a couple times. Maybe the third line, D. We might have a chance of cracking it. Like, I think the big name is Eric Staal.
Right?
Not for Canada.
True.
For Canada.
Staal's, he was playing men's league earlier this year. Actually, you guys probably can't go play men's league, can you? Because there's such a lockdown. He's like, I got to get out of the house, but he's going to go get locked down over there, so
so we have some cool stuff coming up. I obviously did Paul Bissonnette, who's doing some great stuff on TV. We got Sophia Yurskovich coming up, who does women in sports. Speaking of women in sports, first lady referee coming up. I did something with Corey Hirsch, mental health, and his story is pretty amazing. A bunch of things we're going to tee up and put out. Hirsch's story is absolutely amazing. He's doing a lot of that stuff himself on kind of the mindset of a lot of things that people go through, and just so many of those conversations were taboo so many years ago when we were all younger, right? Now it's kind of everything. It's great for our kids because they can talk about anything.
For sure.
And that's kind of great. So they're all, anyway, so that stuff, and it's coming out soon, and I'm excited about it. And thanks for having me on this one, guys.
Yeah, you got it, brother. We appreciate your time. I know you're busy, brother.
All right, boys.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.